Amen. If you've ever prepared for a party or you've ever prepared for a special event, maybe it's a wedding or an anniversary, or maybe it's just a dinner party, you go through all of those preparations. You pick out invitations and you send it, and you send special announcements reminding people of this special time in your life, or a special moment, a dinner party, or a celebration that you want to remember. But when it's over, we want to ask ourselves, what difference has it really made? And it depends on how you view that moment. Is it just an event? Is it just a one-time moment that you want to celebrate? Or is it something that you want to leave with people for the rest of their lives? I want to contrast a dinner party, if you would, with perhaps something like a pep rally. Have you ever been to a pep rally for a football team? Everybody gets together, and maybe they're shouting slogans, and maybe they're singing some fight songs, or maybe they're reminding them of what's coming ahead. But we recognize that at a pep rally, it is only the kickoff for what is about to unfold. It's only the beginning. Well, this morning, as we think about our baptism, what has your baptism meant to you? And more importantly, what has Easter meant to you? Is it just a day on the calendar? Is it something that we can now mark the passage of time and say, well, spring is finally upon us because we have gotten through Easter? It is just a day on the calendar, and each year it comes around and we mark our time by Easter. Or is it more like a pep rally? Something that happens and yet we say, now it really begins. Now the journey is really beginning to unfold for us. Well, that's what I think is really happening this morning in our passage from Luke. I love the way Luke brings this out for us. In this passage, as Luke tells us that everybody is going down, they're trying to connect with God. They're going to the baptism that John is sharing, this idea of getting through to that Exodus moment, that freedom that they experienced, that all of the Jews understood, that freedom from Egypt. They're going down to pass through the water that John is offering. And as all of the people are gathering, Jesus comes to share with them too. He goes down to participate with them in that journey. And as he goes down, it says, in bodily form, the heavens opened, and here is this wonderful affirmation of faith, right? The thing that people have been looking for their whole lives, the heavens open and the people hear a voice. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. What better affirmation could they be waiting for? It tells us that the people had been waiting for the Messiah. And here is the affirmation from heaven. For Jesus, he could say, this is it, folks. This is what we've been waiting for. The story is over. You now know the truth. It has come from heaven, not from me. And so we are just going to go on with our lives because it's not going to get any better than this. And the people say, that's what we were looking for. We now know who he is. Let's all go home and live normal, everyday lives. But Scripture tells us that's not what happened. And you know that very well. You know that Jesus' baptism was not the end of the story. It was just the beginning. It was the unfolding. It was the proclamation that he was the one that was come to bring salvation. And yet we don't fully understand what that means at this point. The rest of the story begins to unfold. See, I want to share with you this morning that it is a catalyst event in Jesus' life. Everything from this point begins to unfold almost because of his baptism moment. Because of that moment in the Jordan River, everything else begins to unfold. You see, Easter is a catalytic moment in our lives. It isn't just a time on the calendar. It isn't a time for us to prepare to hide Easter eggs, and it isn't a time for us to buy new clothes for ourselves. It is a life-changing, catalytic event. But in order for it to truly affect your life, in order for it to truly come to fruition, you have to have the right elements there available to it. A willing heart, a desire to go deeper, and a hunger to submit to what God is doing. You see, most of the time, we just look and say, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. That's all there is to it. Let's go home and live ordinary lives. But in our passage, we recognize that Jesus' baptism almost drove him into a desert experience to go deeper in his experience with Jesus. Our baptism, what we understand about baptism, is it is a catalytic event. It transforms our lives and brings to fruition all the good things that God has in store for us. It is not the end of the story, it's just the beginning. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians that you'll find in your sermon notes. It says, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, of those that consider themselves believers, he says, to one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you like to hide Easter eggs? When you had small children or maybe when you were growing up, how many of you used to hide Easter eggs around? Most of us, that's kind of just this tradition, you know, that we hide Easter eggs. But did you ever get to a point where maybe you forgot to find one? That you hid them so well, you don't remember where they all were? Now, most of you are very smart and relatively intelligent people. Have you ever not hard-boiled an egg and then tried to hide it? When an egg goes bad, it really has a smell all its own. There's just nothing that compares to an egg that has gone bad. And I love that imagery, especially this time of year. As everything is bursting forth, all of the flowers, the Bradford pears are coming out, and the lilacs are coming out, and everything is bursting forth, and you have this contrast. Paul is saying to people that do not understand the journey of faith, it seems like rotten eggs all around. But to those who believe, it's like a fragrance. We are being transformed. So life is like that catalytic moment in our lives that transforms us from that smell of death, that decaying sense that's all around, that hopelessness in which most of us live, to the fragrance of God's blooming forth, that birth that comes to life. Baptism is a catalytic event. The thing that I need to ask you this morning is it working in your life? Is it transforming from inside out? Have you allowed your baptism, that sacred moment where God seals your life for a ministry for the rest of your life, is it working within your life? Or are you still waiting for some miraculous thing to unfold? Are you still waiting to get engaged? Are you still waiting to submit? Baptism is the beginning. And we find that Jesus begins his ministry by journeying into the desert. He goes into the desert to encounter his temptations. You see, most of us have this idea that as soon as we become Christians, life is just smooth sailing. God takes care of all of our problems, all of our doubts and our fears fade away. When in fact, we find that sometimes God needs to clarify. He needs to cleanse our eyes from what's shielding us, from what's keeping us to see what's really happening in our life. And in Jesus' own ministry, in order to be completely effective, he takes that journey into the desert. All of us at some point in our life need a desert experience, a time of clarity, a time of purity, a time where we encounter the fullness of God's grace. But we have to make ourselves available to it. We can't just say Easter has come and gone and that's all there is to it. There's so much more. Baptism is a beginning. It's not an end. One of the biggest problems I think that is facing the church today is we're people, maybe just even in our own culture, that are trying to find what is the bare minimum I have to do to get into heaven? What is it that I have to do in order to buy that fire insurance that we're all looking for? And a lot of people have come to the conclusion that because I was baptized, even as perhaps as an infant or as an adult, that's all there is to it. That baptism is the end of the game and not the beginning. But nowhere in Scripture do we find that to be true. Nowhere in Scripture do we find any idea that once you're baptized, that's all there is to it. You don't have to do anything else. It's all been sealed for you. In fact, what we find is once you've been baptized, that's the beginning of your mission life. You become a missionary wherever you are planted. Wherever you work and whatever you do, you are a missionary in that location. You take that journey with Jesus through the Gospels to encounter his Easter moment, and then you take that upon yourself to share that good news as a disciple. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, says, I urge you, you can almost hear him pleading with us, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have received. You have received a calling on your life. Your life isn't just ordinary, it's extraordinary. It isn't just a human being living out a time frame of 60, maybe 70 or 80 years. It's a spirit that is growing and nurturing and being transformed so that at the moment of death, the spirit is ready to bloom into something that we cannot fully yet comprehend. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. We also recognize from Jesus' act through the other Gospels that baptism is an act of submission. It's surrendering your life. It's saying, this is what I am a part of. God is a part of me, and I'm a part of the journey and the story that he's telling. We begin to engage in that deeper level of understanding. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 8, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. If you really hold, if you really follow, if you're really fulfilling the calling on your life, then you are my disciples. Not just because you're going through the motions, not just because you show up here every Sunday, but because of what you're bringing forth in your own life. Baptism allows us to surrender, to remember to whom we are under authority, that we are his followers, he's not ours, that we model our life after what Jesus has done, not the other way around. We recognize that baptism is an act of submission. But most of all, we can engage in that remembering baptism. The first thing that we want to do to grow deeper in that baptism moment is to remember what God has truly done in our lives. This passage is not from Ephesians, it's actually from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? There's a great movie that was shown several years ago. It was simply called The Bear. And it was all this story about these two bears, these two real bears. One little bear that was born and its mother was killed when it was very young. And for some reason, it got attached to this very large grizzly bear. And it seemed to just follow this grizzly bear. And for whatever reason, the grizzly kind of took it under its wing, if you will, and showed it how to hunt and how to look for grubs and how to climb a tree when danger came. Well, there comes this point all through the movie. There's this cougar that is looking for a time when it can pounce on this little bear, this little defenseless bear. And there kind of comes a point at the end of the movie where the cougar is finally beginning to crouch low and it's beginning to approach the little bear. It's going to make its move. It thinks it sees an open window when it can attack that little bear and finally kill it. And so the cougar begins to crouch and begins to move slowly towards the bear. And this little grizzly just stands up on its hind feet and in this pitiful, weak, tiny little voice begins to growl at this cougar in a growl that would not make anyone afraid and is almost laughable to hear it. But as he stands up and he begins to growl, this pitiful little growl, this little whine, you begin to see that the cougar begins to back up very, very slowly and begins to slink back into the shadows. And you wonder what could possibly have frightened. And when the screen finally pans back, there standing behind this little puny bear is this mountain of a grizzly, not making a sound, not letting anybody know that he's there, but just in the background. 8-9 feet tall, a massive grizzly. And you know that in the shadow of this massive grizzly, the cougar could not stand a chance. Do we remember what God has done? That in our shadow, he stands there? That nothing on heaven and on earth do we have to be afraid of? Because standing behind us is not a 9-foot grizzly, but is the creator of the universe. A universe that is beyond our wildest comprehensions, that is bigger and more massive than we could ever imagine. What is it then we have to be afraid of? And if we can remember that, if we can celebrate that, the next thing just flows naturally. Celebration. What is it today of all days that you have to celebrate? We're Easter people. We have nothing to be afraid. In life, in death, in life beyond death, Christ is with us. We know that. We affirm that. We celebrate that. We're Easter people. We celebrate our baptism because we recognize and we reaffirm that covenant, that relationship. That no matter where we are and no matter what's going on in our life, we have this mountain of a Father standing behind us to protect us and to watch over us no matter what we do, no matter what we're going through. We celebrate what God has done for us. One of the quotes that I love and I share as much as I can is that worship, this time together, is a natural response to God's extravagant grace. When you have experienced God's movement in your life, worship just flows. And so on the Sunday after Easter, when we say, why are the numbers not as great as they were for Easter? Because people are not experiencing the extravagant grace, or they are not giving him credit for what he's already been doing in their lives. Imagine if that little bear had stood up and said, I have done that all on my own. I can take on cougars, I can take on anybody. Not without the grizzly standing behind you, not without the Father standing behind you. And finally, we need to press on. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. We need to not only begin the journey, but we need, as the Apostle Paul said to his friends in Philippi, I press on for the goal to which Christ called me. It is a beginning, not an end. We press on to reach what God is doing in our lives. Are you pressing on to go deeper? Or will this Easter be like so many others? Just another day on the calendar. Just another time that, just another date on the calendar that marks the passage of time. And maybe you're just saying, maybe next Easter it will happen for me. The time for you is now. We're going to come up and we're going to reaffirm our baptism, what God has done. And I want you, as you come up, to remember, as you come up, I want you to place your hand in the water, feel the water that God has given you. Take one of the stones as a memorial that God will be with you always. Put it on your desk, keep it in your pocket, put it at home. Take more than one if you want. Take one and give it to a friend. And celebrate that you have been marked with the good news, that God is doing a catalytic thing in your life for life change. He's beginning things, not finishing them. And that the transformation that is about to happen, that worship is a pep rally, not just another day on the calendar. As you come forward, celebrate what he's doing, and then press on for the journey that has been laid out before you. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all the good things that you do in our lives, for the praise that we give you each and every Sunday, for the spring that has come, and for the opportunity that we have to worship. Father, we give you thanks for these gifts and so many others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.